Lord God, thank you so much for how you reveal yourself to us, you show yourself in your holy words in the Bible. Lord God, we pray now for the next few minutes as we think about this passage, you will help each one of us hear and understand what you are saying to us and to know more of your never-ending, overwhelming love for us. Amen. I recognise that this is quite a complex passage, and maybe reading on its own just once through, you think, my goodness, what on earth does that mean? And of course, we only have a few moments in a Sunday service. What I'm going to try and do is just unpack briefly the key theme in this passage, and then I commend to you, whether you're familiar with the Bible or not, to go back to it sometime and have a look at the verses. When we sit with stuff for a few moments and read it through and wrestle with it, it's amazing how God reveals himself to us and makes things clear. But I'll do my best just to unpack the key theme here and then leave you and God to do some extra work afterwards if you'd like to. And today we are continuing a summer theme that St. Matthew's is doing on generosity. And this morning we're thinking about the theme of all that we have belongs to God. And I know I've mentioned this before in our series, as we think about what it means to live generously in the ways of God who gives us absolutely everything in and through Jesus Christ. As we think about what it means to live generously in that way, we also, of course, need to note always that it is much easier for those who have plenty, not just possessions, but also friends, family, community, love, etc. Much easier for those who are in that situation to preach and teach about such things, isn't it? So as we continue our summer series about generosity, it is good to be graciously mindful of those in our city and in the communities in which we live who have so very little, both of stuff and of love. And that is why our reading ends with what it does on verse 48. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded and expected. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Because we have been so blessed. So there is a call to generous living very specifically. And remember, when I'm talking about generosity here, I'm not just talking about money and finances. There's so much more to generous living than pound notes or dollars. There are many sayings in life about ownership. For instance, possession is 9/10 of the law. This is a very parochial one to us English people. An Englishman's home is his castle, etc. Bertrand Russell, the philosopher, said, "It is a preoccupation with possessions more than anything else that prevents us from living freely and nobly. What is, in quotes, ours has been and continues to be a central part of secular society's identity." And again, I'm not just talking about material possessions. You can include things like taking for granted a good education, which many people cannot. But Christian faith and the Christian life, as revealed to us through the Bible, takes a very different approach, very counter to this perceived societal value and culture. And in the early parts of the Bible, a core claim is made about the whole universe and therefore also about our role within the universe, that everything in the world belongs to God, and we are stewards of it all. And if we are stewards, called to responsibly care for all we have around us and about us, how then will we use it? The words of Holy Scripture encourage us right from the creation narrative in Genesis all the way through to different passages like this. The holy words of Scripture encourage us to see wealth in all its different facets, through the lens of stewardship and not ownership. Someone put it this way: the Christian's identity as a steward underpins Jesus' invitation to the generous life. In God's world, we are not primarily savers or spenders, those who own or do not. But in a radical third take, we are caretakers, entrusted to do good with our resources, all of which belong to God. It is an entirely different lens through which we see the figures in our accounts and in our lives and in our possessions under our roofs. This passage, this complicated passage, is mainly a parable that Jesus told in Luke's Gospel, speaking directly into the question of how different people may view the thanksgiving for and the responsibility to use and steward well the gifts that God has given us in life, practical, financial, emotional, whatever it might be. And the parable, which was a story that Jesus used or people used to try and tell a life truth, the parable does so in the context of the reminder that one day Jesus will come again in glory to judge the world. So how then might we want to be seen? That is the context of this parable, this narrative. As good and generous stewards who use our gifts and privileges wisely and generously, and who therefore live with the experience of knowing the great blessings of being thankful and generous, or as something else? And again, I've not been alone in this series. Alongside my colleagues of mentioning how when we actually proactively, sometimes we have to sort of dig ourselves out of the space in life to proactively look beyond ourselves and the things that are happening. It's not a chore, but we actually discover God's joy and God's pleasure and God's richness as we do so, because we are filled with a sense of blessing and wholeness as we take those steps. It is a beautiful thing. I admit sometimes in the struggles of life it is a hard thing to do too. But when we do that, by God's grace and with His help, it is a beautiful blessing. Often this passage in Luke's Gospel has a subtitle of watchfulness. And in our daily lives it can feel like we are engaged in many ongoing battles. Competitiveness, possessiveness, the permanent need for wealth creation, the fear of losing it, and therefore our anxiety to store up as much as we can just in case. Of course, humanly, I understand that and the pressures that so many people are under. And the Christian recognizes this too as a spiritual battle. A battle between the loving and selfless ways of God as revealed to us in and through Jesus Christ, against versus the selfish and self-interested ways of the world as revealed to us in the habits and adopted norms of society around us, which makes us feel that is the way we have to be too. And so in this battle, Jesus calls us to be watchful. And this passage is all about this. Be watchful of our lives and of others and of how we live and love. And underneath the parable, alongside this advice to remain watchful of how we live our lives, Jesus is seeking also to help us remember several things. Firstly, that God owns all creation, including the personal possessions and advantages He has given you and me. Secondly, that God entrusts us with these resources, gifts, and blessings, not just to enjoy. Yes, they are given to us to enjoy and to have pleasure in. He blesses us abundantly, but not just to enjoy, but also to do good with, to share and to make a difference to others. And thirdly, that God actually blesses us to give more, not just to have more. And as Jesus asks Peter and the other disciples listening, this is down in verse 42 of our reading, Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master put in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? When he asks that question, he is inviting them and us to discern with his help, and by that I mean the help and guidance of God's Holy Spirit in prayer. He's inviting us with his help to discern what good stewardship of God's gifts looks like for each one of us in each particular season of our lives, and to listen out for his guidance and his grace. I wonder what emotions surface in you as you consider different aspects of this parable, the parable of the faithful and wise manager. And as you perhaps spend some time looking at it afterwards and trying to work out, by God's grace and help, what it specifically means for you. What emotions come to the surface? How does it encourage you? And how does it challenge you, perhaps? Today, this morning, specifically in St. Matthew's now, we are specifically thanking God, amongst other things, for Freddie. And we're asking for God's grace and love to be with him every single day of his life. Because Freddie is a wonderful miracle too. Freddie also is a beautiful gift of God. In Psalm 100, David writes, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." You and I also belong to God as his creation and his people. And he cares for us as a shepherd cares for his sheep with his whole life. That was the life of a shepherd in the time of Jesus. As we belong to God ourselves and can live in the knowledge and assurance of his endless love for us, we are reminded today to let go of the anxieties of life that comes with endlessly chasing and possessing. To let go. And to live lives instead with the knowledge and understanding of God's grace, goodness, generosity, and personal and intimate love for you. To thank God for his daily provision, and to prayerfully think of how best we can generously live and give because of this, will bring the blessing of peace. The blessing of a peace that passes our understanding. And it will bring rest for the soul. In some Christian services, when thinking about giving and sharing, we often say a version of these words from the Bible, from 1 Chronicles. "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Amen.